we don't actually get into what the person on the other side is doing to get us our taxes. We don't get into what we can write off and what we can actually buy during the year and get the money from at the end of the year. We don't get into tax brackets and what bracket I'm in versus what bracket I want to be in, what bracket I want to stay in. We don't get into that. We just know for a fact, first of the year, give them my taxes. They're going to give me a check, and it's going to happen every year. And the fact that they're giving us that check every year, it make a lot of us say, I don't care what's going on the other side of the chair. I'm on this side getting the check. I don't care what's going on. That opened my life when I found out what was going on the other side of that chair.
And you know, to your point here, because, you know, I grew up similar where tax season was a thing where you knew you were going to get a refund and there was a like, oh, we got to do this to get my refund. I am now currently, say, as a household, tax season is something we don't rush to.
Yeah.
Because yeah, it's like,
when the rabbit got the gun. Hey.
Yo, it's like, man, like, I do think that just that alone is a mindset that demonstrates like where someone is on a like a like scale of ownership and and I don't want to use that term wealth, but I'll say ownership and financial security, because mm-hmm. very rarely are you going to be financially secure if you're getting a refund in your taxes from the government at the end of the year. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like very rare. Like, I don't know how many people can really get any type of financial security when they're year over year waiting to get a refund back when they file taxes. So I got to say, to your point, man, like you unfortunately, you don't know what you don't know. But through these experiences, through the willingness to do different things, you take things on and you learn along the way. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's up. So you started the studio in Kannapolis, prime location. What's the name of the studio for people listening?
The Kitchen Studios. You can look it up online, thekitchenllc.com, The Kitchen Studio 704. Google it. It's going to pop right up. We in Kannapolis, North Carolina. We got engineers, producers, rappers, singers, rock and roll artists, white, black, Asian, plug in the flesh gear on the site, all of that. We'll have it for you. But yeah, that's where we located. And we got pretty much regulars, man. They there, you know, once, twice a week. Some guys, most guys we see on they're literally regulars. They treat it like the gym. You know, I personally didn't know people recorded like this. Like
they got people they in there actually like with songs, thoughts worked out, ready to get to it.
Yeah, I didn't have cats come through, pay for a whole day, a whole block off the whole studio, get in the studio and not record one song.
Yeah.
I have seen it, bro. Just sit there just writing. Got the game on. We got TVs in there. Got the game on. They in there listening to beats, writing. Paid for the whole session. They record one thing. Paid the engineer everything. And they leave out. I'm feeling bad.
Hey, that's just a part of doing the business, right? Like, that's a part of doing the business. But that's okay. So you got the studio. So, okay. What else? So
after the studio, I realized that my passion, honestly, it's business. I've been doing hand-to-hand business since I don't know. Everybody knows me from, I used to sell CDs in school, man. I used to sell movies, man. So it was only naturally right that when I became older, I'm multiplying something. I end up finding out I have family over in California. I end up finding out I have family in Oregon, and these family members that I had reached out to, they own dispensaries, and it's medical marijuana over there, but here it's weed. You know, if you're in a city that is not legally or not medical, not rec, as far as the legal side of marijuana, it's just weed, it's just gas. When I got a call from one of my family members and they told me that I had a family member that owned a dispensary, You can only imagine. You can only imagine what I'm like. So I'm like, man, how can I own a dispensary? Mm-hmm. You know, how can I become, you know, this is my life. I love to smoke weed. You telling me I could smoke it legally without being in any trouble and I could obtain a business from this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, after I found that out, naturally, it was time to meet my cousin. Cousin, how you been? You know, how can I become a part of what y'all got going on? And when I met my cousins, naturally, it's all, as you see in life, you got friends that you love, but they not blood. So it's hard to trust everybody. You might not know this person, but he is your family. Just giving the good energy, it's, you become immediately in a circle, you know, that money couldn't have put you in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just me being me, just me being genuine, my family members, they seen exactly who I was, even though we didn't grow up together, even though, you know, everybody wasn't at Auntie Bertha's house spending the night. They still, you know, felt the love and the family there. So I was, like I said, even from the jump of this whole podcast, I have been favored, you know, highly. God has been so good to me that I've walked into a lot of blessings that I question, like, why me? Like, what have I done? And in turn, I make sure I go out my way to do whatever I can for anybody that I love, because I feel like it's an unbelievable feeling when you know for a fact it's somebody else, like guaranteed, somebody else just looking out, handing you things that you know for a fact that you just, it's just God, bro. But my family actually gave me a job and allowed me to work at their dispensary. I took years off of my life to sacrifice and become a part owner of a dispensary. It's a lot of things that people want to do that I learned as well as myself, but people are not willing to do the hardest thing, I guess it is, to get where they want. And that's to put life completely down, put it all on the back burner. I put fun down, you know, relationships down. I didn't have fun for like 2 years. My family, my wife and I, my kids, my son stayed in 2-bedroom, 1-bath. You know how hard it is to have children, bro, and stay in a 1-bathroom house, bro?
Mm.
Like, with a woman and kids. And, bro, we stayed in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath in a back road in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Small joint, real small. We in the back taking a sacrifice, watching all my friends ball. I watched all my friends ball. I'm talking about ball hard. A couple of my friends became members of a car club, just pulling out drop tops. And I watched all my friends have a chance, and I rooted for all of them, waiting for my turn. I went to go work, put in hours at, you know, at the farms and dispensaries and learn, you know, everything it is to learn about medical marijuana, legal marijuana, the business of, you know, owning a dispensary, the money and the taxes, the grows. And I learned everything. I took time off of my life. I lost money.
Mm-hmm.
After the process was over, I gained relationships and I was put in a position to succeed, and everything I lost, I obtained back. But I would have never, ever, ever gotten to, you know, the point where I was able to get to if I wouldn't have put life down for 2 years. I put life down for 2 years.
You know, I think that's important. And you know, I wouldn't say that you lost, because there's a cost to doing business. And in life, sacrifices are necessary. You can't obtain anything without a sacrifice, whether that's a material sacrifice, a time sacrifice. Like, you have to give things up to get something. And so, you know, what you had to give up to obtain, ultimately what you obtain is a part of the journey. And that's why it's not a loss.